Hi, this is Wendy of Managed Tools and Courier Tools. I just want to let you know that we recorded this cast before the COVID-19 crisis. And though we don't mention working from home, and working from home is quite different and probably has messed up all of your schedules and all of your routines, eventually life will go back to normal, they tell us. And hopefully this cast will be useful now and then. Having a break in your routines and your schedule might actually be a good thing, since you can maybe implement some of these things when we get to new normal. I hope you enjoy it. Welcome to Career Tools. This week, Work-Family Balance, Chapter 2, Get Up Early. The questions this cast answers are, how can I have more family time without compromising work? How can I get up earlier? And what should I do when I get up early? Folks, we've been creating management guidance and career guidance for nearly 15 years. In June, it'll be 15 years. We've been talking about working and managing remotely since 2005. And I know you didn't even think that the internet existed then. If you're new to working remotely, or you're still struggling to get used to working remotely after we all had to do it, you can get all our working from home guidance by going to the website and going to podcasts and then important topic feeds. As well as listening for yourself, forward that link to everyone you know. Not because we need the marketing, though we do suck at marketing, but we want to help as many people as possible. And we know that working from home has been a big adjustment. And there's lots of things you can do to make it easier. Some time ago, we had a cast called The Work Family Balance Chapter 1, Go Home. And in it, Mark introduced the idea of work-family balance being so impossible that it was akin to trying to balance a yellow M&M and the sun. And on the 2nd of March, if you go back to the 2nd of March on the Manager Tools feed, there's a much longer cast about that topic, about the M&M and the yellow sun, and just how different those are and how difficult it should be to balance them. Because, oh, and by the way, your family is the sun. Your family is the big important thing. And an M&M is an M&M. It's just one of a million. So when it comes down to it, work-family balance is never going to happen because the two things are so different that they're not even fitting on the same set of scales. Mm-hmm. And even though the balance thing, you're never going to get to balance, but there are ways that you can get more family time without compromising work time. And one of those strategies is to get up early. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. We're going to discuss going to bed early, using the early morning time for important things, and having breakfast with your family.
So in order to get up early, you have to go to bed early. And I have been to bed late the last two nights. And when I was trying to read the questions this cast answers, we could tell because I was reading completely the wrong words.
Yeah. In order to get up early, you have to go to bed earlier, right? But sometimes that's hard. You can't get up early if you haven't had enough sleep, though. And obviously, we need sleep. The average adult needs 7 to 9 hours of sleep each night. I'm glad it says 2-9 because I really feel like I need like 9 to 10. The thing is, you do need a certain amount of sleep, 7 to 9 hours each night, and you can't make it up on the weekends. You can't, you know, sleep less during the week and then hope to make it up on the weekend, especially if you have a family. It's not really anything to do with being a lark or a night owl, which I think some of us think of us ourselves as, oh, I do better late at night or I do better early in the morning. Whether your definition of early is 5 a.m., which sounds horrible, or noon, you will not be able to consistently get up even an hour earlier if you haven't had those 7 to 9 hours of sleep at night that night beforehand. So,
and that's where we often go wrong. If you watch YouTube videos, when I was sick over Christmas, I watched a lot of YouTube videos. And there's a lot of people trying to get up at 5 a.m. And what they do is they say, I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. And 3 days in, they're like, I'm exhausted. But it's because they haven't changed their going to bedtime. And so, of course, they're exhausted because now they're only getting 5 hours sleep instead of the 7 to 9 that they need. And what happens is, you know, they do that for a few days. They say, oh, I'm exhausted. I can't be a morning person, or this isn't for me, or I'm just not ever going to be able to get up early. And that's kind of irrelevant. The problem is they're tired. They haven't had enough sleep, and that's why they feel bad. It's nothing to do with their ability to consistently get up at a certain time or to be up at an hour in the day. It's just because they're tired. So you have to overcome that problem first.
Yeah. In order to get up early, you have to go to bed early. It's like if one and the other, right? And we're, as humans, we're keyed biologically to get up early. If you've shifted away from circadian rhythms and you're going to bed late, then you might not think of yourself as a morning person. But your body is designed to get up with the sun, regardless of what the clock says. You sleep through sunrise because you haven't had enough sleep, or in my case, because you have blackout curtains, not because you're programmed to wake up later. Going to bed earlier will make getting up earlier much easier for you, which I find all the time. And I think too, it depends on where you are. Like, I think a lot of us, you find this if you're in a place where there's fewer distractions at night. Like, I find if, you know, we're in a place where we can't watch TV or something like that at night, then we end up going to bed earlier. And then, you know, the next thing you know, it's 6 a.m. and you're awake. Going to bed earlier is going to help you do this, essentially.
Yeah, that's right. So going to bed early and getting up early achieves what Laura Vanderkam calls moving time. So what you're doing is you're moving the free time or the leisure hours from the end of the day to the morning. So instead of having free time at the end of the day when you're already tired and inefficient and ineffective, what we're going to do is move them to the morning when you can use them more effectively. So if we imagine a typical night for you people listening, most of you probably begin with a struggle at 5 or 5:30 p.m. trying to decide whether tonight is the night that you stay till 6 or 6:30 or later in order to get caught up. And I put caught up in inverted commas, air quotes, because you never get caught up. And it doesn't matter whether you do or not, because you are never really going to get caught up if you're doing ineffective work at the end of the day when you're tired. Like, it's the worst time to try and get through a mountain of work because you are already tired. Like, your body only runs for a certain amount of time before it needs to sleep or before it becomes ineffective. You know, there's the bit after breakfast. So you wake up, you've had sleep, you've been fed. So like from 9 till 12, everything's good. And then your body says, okay, I'm out of fuel. I need feeding again. And then there's the sort of dip while you're being fed and you're processing the food and all that stuff. And then you have another kind of upward swing. But that upward swing is never as good as the one in the morning because you don't have the advantage of being close to when you just woke up. And so anything you do at the end of the day, you're going to do worse at than if you did it in the morning.
Yeah. It's definitely just a time frame thing, right? And it's such it's so funny. This moving time is so smart, especially because when you get home, you have a lot of stuff to do. You have children's homework to watch over, extracurricular stuff, soccer practice, softball, stuff like that, dinner to make, bedtime to marshal, and you only have a limited amount of time to do that. It's a lot of stuff to get done between 5:30 and 8:30, depending on, I guess, how old your children are. Your tiredness and that limited amount of time with a lot of stuff to do contributes to, of course, conflicts with your spouse and your children, fights and sharpness and just frustration. The more tired you are when you get home, the harder those things are to do. So let's say you get through that stuff and then the last 2 hours of your day are spent watching TV or going through social media or both.
And telling yourself, I'm relaxing.
Yeah. Or you're ineffectively doing email and telling yourself, I'm getting ahead, which all of these things are perhaps not as useful as some other activities could be. Even if you wanted to put in 30 minutes of that class you wanted to take or read something complex, you're really too tired after a full day to do so. Small hack here. I only read fiction after a work day and I only read nonfiction in the mornings.
I have the same hack. Yeah.
I will read something or I'll have to read the same sentence four times if it's nonfiction at the end of the day. Like, especially on planes, you know, if it's 8 o'clock and I'm on a plane home from presenting, no way am I reading nonfiction because there's no ability for me to actually digest that. So I read fiction at the end of the day. And I also tend to read things I've already read before if I'm like really, really tired. Travis McGee is my nighttime companion for reading.
I do the same thing. I only read fiction on my Kindle because the Kindle doesn't have the blue light. So I find a definite difference if I read on my Kindle versus reading on my iPad at night. So I only read fiction on my Kindle at night, and I only read nonfiction on my iPad on the Kindle app in the day because then I get the bright light. That helps. And the other reason I don't read nonfiction is if I'm reading something that's interesting, that's about business or whatever, I get a bunch of ideas and then I wind myself up and I can't sleep. Whereas a book, I'm like, I don't care. Like, the murderer will be there tomorrow.
Yeah, for
I'll
sure.
I'll go to sleep. Whereas the idea won't be there tomorrow. So then I have to get up and I have to write it down and I have to be excited about it. And, you know.
Yep. It's so funny. All these little things, they're not really obvious. And I think it's akin to kind of this, what we're talking about. It's that it's not an obvious solution to the pain point of the evening hours to move those free hours you're using to relax to the morning. The obvious solution to the time crunch when you come home is to come home earlier or to keep your kids and yourself up later. It's also obvious that that's not a good solution. And so we struggle, right? We make an assumption about what the obvious solution is, and then it turns out that's not a great solution. If you're like the typical manager or, you know, professional, you already have too much to do in the hours that you have. And you and your kids are already tired. Going to bed later is just going to make that worse. Bear with us. The solution really is to move those last 2 hours to the morning by getting up 2 hours earlier.
Even if your kids aren't up, like, it's not obvious that more family time is the solution to that is be up when your kids aren't up, but we'll get there. We promise.
Yeah, sure. If we're talking about sleep, sleep specialists say that if you're not tired at the time you'd like to go to bed, the best strategy is to get up at the time you want to. Your body will adjust, right? It soon gets into the idea that you're going to consistently get up at that time and starts being tired at the appropriate time. So we're backfilling here. Moving your waking time from 7 a.m. to 5 a.m. might be too much of a jump, but if you consistently get up at 6:30 for 2 weeks, you'll start feeling sleepy at 10:30. Who's not sleepy at 10:30? That's my question. Once you're there, moving waking by another 30 minutes and so on and so forth until you're at your desired time is probably an adjustable solution.
Yeah, just move it in small increments. The other strategy is another, I think it's a Gretchen Rubin strategy, which is called the strategy of the clean slate, which is kind of why New Year's resolutions work, because it's a new year, a clean slate. But moving your waking time, your bedtime and your waking time when you get back from vacation, especially if you've been in a time zone change or when the clocks change, like you'll have to wait till October for that. But when the clocks go back, if you carry on getting up at the same hour, you'll effectively be getting up an hour earlier. So
yeah, good.
It's not impossible to wake up early, even if you think of yourself as a night owl. You know, there's plenty of people who change their routine when they change jobs. For example, when I was a student, I did 2 years at the university, and then I did a year work experience, and then I went back to university as the way my degree was structured. And the year I was working in Germany, and my work day started at, I think, 6:30. And so I had to get up at 5:30 to cycle to the ferry, to catch the ferry, to cycle to the plant where I was working, to be there at 6:30 to clock in. And I was a student. So, you know, I was never one of those students that really stayed in bed till like lunchtime, but I certainly didn't get up at 5:30 as a student. And yeah, you know, it took a couple of weeks, and I would wake up at that time on a Saturday without an alarm. It really doesn't take that long. And lots of people, if you kind of are interested in this, lots of people who change jobs, who were working 9 to 5, now work 7 till 3, say, you know, it was a couple of weeks of adjustment, but now it's fine.
Mm-hmm. It's the deadline, right? Deadline's driving.
Yeah.
The imperative to get to work on time overcomes your body's desire to stay in bed. And in order to achieve this, You have to go to bed earlier. That's the key. Going to bed earlier is the key to getting up earlier.
We sound like everybody's mother. Go to bed early.
I know. I'm just really excited because I love to go to bed. I like love sleeping. So this is the perfect cast for me to be talking about. I am a big advocate for sleep.
The interview series is the product we get the most feedback about. You won't believe it, but it worked. Emails we get. They're amazing. We were going to turn it into a book, but it's 250,000 words. And that book won't be available for years because they tell us that's way too long for a book. So if you're thinking that you might be changing jobs this year and with the economy the way it is, you surely are. Get the interview series now and be prepared when opportunity knocks. And sometimes opportunity looks like a layoff.
Okay, so we're going to bed earlier. And then that means we're going to get up earlier. And the focus here is to use the early morning time for important things and then also focus on going home on time. If you're getting up early, y'all, don't waste the early morning time on things that aren't important to you. You won't sustain getting up earlier if it doesn't achieve things that you hope to get done, if those goals that you were hoping to focus on. If you get up earlier because you want to fit in exercise and then you get sucked into email every morning instead, obviously, getting up early would lose its appeal. If we're going to change one behavior, hopefully we're going to focus on, you know, using that to be effective in another way.
Yeah. And there's good news that, you know, there's all sorts of evidence that intentions are easier to keep in the morning. So psychologists describe what happens to us during the day as a loss of ego strength. And ego strength is the ability to maintain an effective balance between the physical desires or the easy, you know, the easy wins and the focus on the long-term goal. It's being able to balance ordering a salad because you want to lose weight rather than ordering dessert. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're tired, that decision is way harder. It's much easier to order dessert when you're tired. And so someone with high ego strength is able to tolerate frustration and stress and postpone gratification, modify their desires, and resolve all those internal conflicts and just be the person they want to be in one sense. And ego depletion is kind of the chipping away at the ego strength because you've used it to do something. So another way this is often described is decision fatigue. So if you get up and you go into the kitchen and you choose a healthy breakfast and you choose to pack your bag for the day and you remember all the things and you go outside and you're at the bus stop at the right time, you've made hundreds of decisions by then. And every time you make one, you have the choice between a good decision and a bad decision, right? You have a choice between, I don't know, yogurt and granola or eggs and bacon. And choosing the yogurt and granola just chips away at your ego strength each time. At 8 a.m., it's really easy to decide not to eat a donut. But at 4 p.m., it's really hard to decide not to eat the donut because you don't have that well of strength, because it gets chipped away at. And so the good thing is if you're getting up early with an intention to do something in particular, something that's important to you, you're actually more likely to achieve it than you would if those hours were in the evening still.
You may have read that some of this has been debunked in recent reproducibility crises in psychologic circles. However, our own experience bears out the theory, even if it can't be proved in a lab. I have this experience. And for some of us, I think too, you may choose to leverage your ego strength at the end of the day and experience the extra frustration that comes with it because it is more difficult when you decide that you're still going to cook that dinner, but you're actually really too tired to do it well. It feels worse in my experience. So
the other thing, good thing about mornings is there's usually nobody else around. So yeah. If your choice is granola or a donut, there's nobody saying, oh, go on, have a donut. Or I bought those in for my birthday.
Right.
Or, you know, those kind of things. It's much easier to make a good decision when there's nobody kind of pressuring you.
Additionally, for those of you who feel that your day is very stressful, hectic, or frantic, that may be because the first hour of your day is stressful, hectic, That's or true. Frantic. And spending the first hour of your day alone or in a quiet home where there aren't children up and around or there's just less people up and around really will set the tone. That's a little bit of a buzzword kind of thing, set the tone, but I think it just causes your brain to feel a little less stressed if that first hour is not frantic. It doesn't tell you, hey, this whole day is going to be frantic. It says, okay, we've gotten a little bit of traction. And especially because you were hoping that you use this hour to work on something like exercise or working on something that's difficult, it's, of course, going to set a tone that you've gotten something done. It's much easier to feel less stress around those hectic mornings if those hectic mornings don't feel as if they're compressing the rest of your calendar into the time that's available. So if you choose to exercise or work on something difficult, not only do you feel like you've gotten something done, it's also easier to get those things done because you haven't made 100 minor choices throughout the day and so depleted that ego strength. So we're really, it's two birds with one stone here. If you're concerned about things like email, remember that until now, assuming you're currently getting up at 7, all your emails are waiting until 7. There's no reason to even look at your email until then. You won't be any further behind because actually what you've done is given yourself more time. What's more, you won't get any further ahead if you do email. Because when you send emails, what happens? People reply. Except those people aren't awake right now at 5.
But you'll be surprised at how many people start emailing you back if you email them at 5 a.m. Like the days when I don't manage to do this and I do look at my email, especially as a person who didn't grow up in a world with time zones, I find that here much more prevalent. You know, if I'm getting up at 5 and I sneak a look at my emails at 5:30, it's already 6:30 in Eastern and it's already at lunchtime in Europe. And so those people reply.
Yeah.
And then once you start sending, you're just sucked into a spiral. And instead of emptying your inbox, you're just stuck doing more email. One trick that I found, because so many people use their phone as their alarm in the morning, I use my Alexa as my alarm in the morning, my Echo. And then my phone stays in my office. Once I've decided it's the end of the day, I put it on silent, leave it in my office. And it's over the other side of the house.
Ooh.
But yeah, having another device that doesn't have email to be your alarm is much easier.
That's a really smart move. One of the things that always gets stressful for me is trying to make dinner with the recipe that's on my phone. I should print them. Because then I can get my phone out of the way. Last night I had to put my phone on the charger to make dinner because it was dead. Because I had such a long day. And dinner felt much less stressful for me. So you have, of course, options. And if you do want to use the extra time to work, which we're hoping that you use this productively, it doesn't have to be work, do use it to make forward progress, though, on important or difficult projects. If the team or customers are already up and working at the time when you're awake, don't log into Instant Messenger or your email until your usual hours. This will ensure that you still have uninterrupted time to work on whatever it is you were hoping to do. Look, if you really want to do email, take it offline so your replies aren't being sent. Schedule them, write them. At your usual time, put it online, send those emails. Focus, though, on things that you need to do that don't involve other people because, again, email, that communication, it requires other people. What we're hoping to do is carve out some time for yourself because we've talked about this, I think, a couple of times before that as jobs become more specialized, you need more time for deep work and deep thinking. And if that's true, then that uninterrupted time is going to be almost invaluable in many cases.
So one reason that you might do extra work or be doing more deep work or on different projects is that you might want to get promoted. And that might seem a bit counterintuitive because if you have a bigger job and more work, wouldn't you have less family time? And what we're trying to get to is better balance and more family time. But actually, the opposite is often true. So the more senior you are, the easier it is to leave early, to have longer lunches, or to take time off, because there's a team of people underneath you to cover when you're gone. It's actually the individual contributors that have the hardest time going on vacation, because usually nobody knows how to do their job, and somebody who's already got a full-time job is going to cover. And then additionally, the extra money in your paycheck can pay for extra household help or childcare or a different commuting option and all of those things that give you back time with your family. So often people don't think of that when they think about getting promoted. They think about more money and more work. But actually, the more money and the more flexibility is maybe what you should think about.
Yeah, yeah. This uninterrupted time in the morning will give you the solution to that evening time crunch that we talked about earlier. Because you're on top of your work, you can go home on time. That long list of homework, extracurricular activities, dinner, and bedtime becomes easier when you have more time to do it. The difference between getting home at 5:30 and getting home at 6:30, if your children go to bed at 8:30, is 33% extra time. That's huge.
Wow. Yep.
And you won't be as tired, right? Your tiredness and the restricted amount of time you have is right now contributing to fights with your spouse, sharpness with your children. Giving yourself more time eases that a little bit.
It's much easier to not yell at your children for taking 10 minutes to clean their teeth if you have 10 minutes. Yeah. Rather than, you know, it's already 9 minutes past bedtime. What are you still doing?
Yeah. If your work is all done during the day, you won't have to work after your children have gone to bed, and then you'll also have more time with your spouse. You even may get to watch shows and TV and stuff together.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would. It would be nice. Yeah. God, which all leads to our final point, which is try to have breakfast with your family. A lot of guidance out there exists about parenting and things like that, and parenting experts agree that having a meal together provides developmental and mental health benefits for your family, yourself, your kids. They don't say that that meal has to be dinner. I think about this when I think about, I try to get the most important stuff done before lunch on my calendar. Like, I tend to just be more effective in the morning, and I try to get the most important stuff done in the morning because I know it's more likely to get done. Well, if the most important thing in your world is your family, put them first in the morning.
Yes. I wrote this and I didn't put those two things together. That's genius.
Yeah. A meal with your family is the most important thing in your day. Okay. Make it breakfast. Why not? Like, you know, it's most important. Let's get that thing done.
And if you've had breakfast together, like, dinner becomes much less stressful because you're not trying to get however many children you have at the table eating the same thing at the same time and, you know, work that around homework and extracurriculars and all those other things. The nice thing about breakfast is nothing else is happening right then.
Also, if your kids are anything like the kids I know, they have 7 different things in the evening. Mm-hmm. Trying to create a dinner with an entire family is, honestly, it sounds very difficult to me. It's not just you, like the parent. It's the kids. Like, how many different extracurricular things do they all have to be at? Like, putting that extra stress on your family, like, we all have to be at this table at this one time when we all are already scheduled to be at other things, it cannot be easy. Like, move this to the front of the day. If you get up at 5, you'd have time to exercise, work on your projects, read, and all the other things you don't have time to do before your children, you don't currently have time to do, before your children get up at 7. Then you have breakfast together at 7:30. You can still be out of the house and on the way to school at 8, into work by 9.
And for lots of companies in Silicon Valley, 9 is early.
Oh my gosh, so true. Not just Silicon Valley.
Wait, we find this when you're doing conferences for training for clients. And we say, do you want to start at 8 or 9? And they say, oh, 9 would be early for most of our people.
But then what's so funny is that we talk about it. People are like, well, 1:30 is late for lunch. I'm like, when do they eat lunch? Like, you go into work at 9:30 and then you eat at noon? Like, how are you getting anything done? Like, it's so early. So for most of us, I think we get up pretty early, but that's not true for a lot of people in offices. A lot of people in offices, their day starts at 9 and ends later, I assume. So we're trying to shift that for y'all so that you have more time in your day
It's kind of basic. I know quality time means something different, but it is the difference between a quantity of time, the 2 hours, and the quality of the time. A 2 hours when at the end of the day when I'm tired and grumpy versus 2 hours at the beginning of the day when I'm fresh and excited and you know, in a good mood, right?
Yeah. You know, there's another option here, which if the morning doesn't work or the evening doesn't work for you, you could have a longer lunch. And you could have lunch with your kids. Mark used to do this with his family. His son Drake used to go and have lunch with him at school. Now, of course, some schools won't allow it and not all kids will love it. You know, they might not feel like it's super cool to have their parent there.
But you can take them out, right? You can take them out to lunch. You could take them out to Subway.
That's totally true. That's absolutely true, which I think most kids would probably be super pumped about. Like lunch off campus, you know, it may not work. It's just a possibility. So this is a, think about, you know, the time you could have with your family. And you know what, even just once a week, like we recommend going to lunch with someone in your network. The other option might be like 1 week a month, just having lunch with one of your kids.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a pretty important part of your network. They outrank your network.
Or if you've if you're working on your important stuff in the morning and you're able to leave work on time, maybe once a month you can leave work at 3 and pick a child up as soon as they finish school instead of waiting until like 5 o'clock and then take them somewhere then and have some one-on-one time with your children. Of course, neither of us are parents and we're now giving parenting advice. So
yes, way above our pay grade.
What do we know? There is no balance in the work-life teeter-totter. There's family and life, and that outweighs work. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't strive to achieve a waiting that works for us and our families. And waking up early is a strategy that could well help you achieve a balance or a waiting that works for you. And whatever you do, follow the principle of the yellow M&M. Work is only a yellow M&M, and your family is the sun. If you put priority in accordance with their size, you'll spend more time with your family just naturally.
Awesome. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. That was fun.
Yeah. Good.
Bye, everyone.